Welcome to the Alliance Podcast. The Greater Fort Lauderdale Alliance is the official public-private partnership for economic development in Broward County, Florida. On our podcast, we share interviews with guest speakers and other great content, keeping you in the know. Considering a relocation or expansion to Greater Fort Lauderdale? Visit us at lesstaxing.com or livewhereyouvacation.com. Now, on to our program.
My name is Dan Perez. I'm an award-winning filmmaker, photographer, video producer, and proud member of the Greater Fort Lauderdale Alliance. I'll also be your host for this latest episode. And my guest is Rufus James, Airport Director of the Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport and this year's winner of the Leadership Award for the Alliance's Governor Council.
Hi, I'm Rufus James. I'm the Airport Director with the Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport. The Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport is owned and operated by the City of Fort Lauderdale. We have four FBOs on the airport: Banyan Air Service, Fort Lauderdale Executive Jet Center, Lynx FBO Network, and W Aviation. The airport also has 600 based aircraft. And to help you better understand what that means is essentially 600 aircraft owners call FXE their home. Typically at most airports, you'll probably have about 200 based aircraft. We have facilities and services such as a Customs and Border Protection facility, which means that when you go out to the Bahamas, the Caribbean, Latin America, and you're returning, you don't have to go to the commercial service airport. You can fly directly into FXE, clear customs, and continue on to your destination. We have airport rescue and firefighting, and we also have an FAA air traffic control tower. Again, typically at a GA airport, you do not have all those amenities and facilities. The federal government deeded the airport to the City of Fort Lauderdale in 1947, and in the 1970s, the airport was identified as a reliever airport to FLL. And so as you can imagine, more commercial traffic was coming in at FLL, and they wanted to alleviate any congestion or delays. So a lot of the smaller airplanes were then directed up here, and that's how we were able to get the customs facility and a FAA air traffic control tower. In the 1980s, the airport was able to generate its first profit. And from that point on, we've never looked back. We've always operated in the black and have been very successful in doing that.
Rufus, what are the dynamics of the relationship between you, this airport, of course, and the Alliance?
Well, interestingly enough, one of the things that has attracted me to the Alliance is that we share the same mission of attracting businesses to the area, helping those businesses prosper, and being a benefit to the community. And so realizing a few years ago, there was several businesses looking to relocate to South Florida, and some of them were in the aviation industry. And obviously, when most people think of coming to South Florida, it's, you know, the larger airports, not realizing that there are some other larger airports, I like to call myself, in the area that can provide services for them as well. And so it was collaborating with the Alliance to make them aware as well that we had a lot available for those private type travelers and so forth. And it went even further beyond that. Our industry is in the position right now where you have people who are retiring, and it was trying to create a feeder pipe to fill those positions and so forth. So we came across a statistic that indicated in the next 20 years, there'll be 1.5 million jobs. That's, you know, a pilot, aircraft maintenance mechanic, air traffic controllers, and the list goes on. And so right now, the partnership with the Alliance is to also interest kids, that next generation of pioneers, if you will, that can get involved with the industry and fill some of those jobs. It's obvious that I think for most kids, they may not see it as a career choice, but working with the Alliance, they have also been working with the Broward County Schools to engage young kids, pique their curiosity, and consider aviation as a career.
You would think more kids would think about being a pilot or being in the air.
I think it's a case where they don't get to hear about it much. I can tell you for me personally, what has gotten me into the industry was that first flight when I boarded an airplane. And of course, back in those days, you know, I hate to age myself, but the pilot would usually, as a kid, bring you into the cockpit to let you check out, and then you get your wings pinned on. You know, you might even get a hat out of it. And so that aviation bug, it's not there anymore because of what has happened over the years with 9/11 and so forth. So it's really now trying to engage with the young kids. And I want to go as young as elementary school and just make them aware of the possibilities that exist.
And how important is an executive airport in the growth of a county, in this case, Broward?
It's very important. You know, just to give you a little backstory on the airport, and we go back to 1947 after World War II. And after the war, the federal government had a surplus of airports. And so essentially what they did was to local municipalities, you're responsible for this airport now. Use it as an economic engine to generate business and attract business to the local municipality or local area. And so initially it wasn't as successful as it is today. But by the mid to late 70s, things turned around and properties were getting developed. New businesses were coming into town. And it does bring jobs to the area. Over the years, we've seen how the airport has helped the economy, our local economy, by creating those jobs and also economic impact. DOT does a study every 4 years. And with that study, they look at all the airports in the state of Florida to see what type of economic impact they have. And so in 2014, when the study was done, FXC was at $839 million, 5,600 jobs. In 2019, the numbers that we received put FXC at $2.1 billion with 12,708 jobs. So in a matter of 4 years, you could see how it more than doubled. And that tells you what exactly is going on here at the airport.
Does catering to this clientele that comes here, obviously executive jet level clientele, is there a different type level of customer service that you may have to apply?
Well, I would say customer service across the board should be implemented wholeheartedly. But obviously, at this level, where you have individuals that expect that red carpet treatment, yes, you'll have to provide that. The businesses, the fixed-base operators, yeah, they know customer service is very important. And such the case that every year, there's an organization that does a survey that ranks all the FBOs throughout the country as providing the best customer service, the best line service. And so they do take it seriously to be part of that nationwide survey and then also getting the accolade of everyone in the industry knowing who their competition is.
You know, getting back to the Alliance, tell me about your involvement in the Governor Council. What have been some of the benefits of being a member?
You know, it really has afforded me the opportunity to network with other individuals outside of the aviation industry. And believe it or not, I've taken a few nuggets from them. And as you mentioned, customer service earlier, learning from some of those individuals exactly how they deal with it and how they apply it to their industry. And so the other benefit of being able to network with those individuals is sharing the executive airport story. And, you know, surprisingly, being in the Uptown District, which is where the airport is located, I don't want to say that it's a forgotten place, but obviously, we're doing everything that we can to make people aware that it's not just downtown. There is this business district in the Uptown area. And so what I'm able to do is to share that story with them and with the hopes that they can also pass it on to their clients. And it certainly has demonstrated as such that we're getting more people using private charter to get from point A to point B.
And being recognized by the Alliance, how does that make you feel?
I'm never one to toot my own horn, if you will, but I like to do work, get it done, and keep it moving. And so what this has afforded me the opportunity to do is reflect on the last 6 years in my role as the airport director. And I was able to go back and look at what have I really accomplished. And being part of the Alliance and some of the things that has gone on here at the airport, I was able to actually sit back and think, oh, wow, I didn't realize that. I didn't remember that I had done all those things, you know. So this was a good reminder for me to realize that everything that I've been doing has led up to this point as we continue to move forward.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, your upbringing, Rufus. Tell me a little bit about where you're from and how you ended up here at this position.
I was born in a small island in the Caribbean. It's called St. Lucia. My grandmother and grandfather pretty much lived off the land. When I say we lived off the land, it was literally planted food, harvested for the season, and we also had livestock. And so part of that upbringing required everyone in the household to bring something to the table, if you will. And so the day typically started at 6 o'clock in the morning, where I would have to feed the chickens, feed the pigs, get the goats and the sheep and get them to feeding places. If it was a school season, you're off to school. But when you return from school, it was, okay, now get ready for tomorrow morning again, because you have to do that. Non-school days, it's, yes, you're in the garden, whether it's pulling weeds, making sure that there's adequate water for the food and so forth. And that really grounded me in the sense of knowing that in order for me to be successful, that I cannot look at life in a way that I could forget about where I came from, you know. The other teachings that I learned from my grandparents living that lifestyle was, yeah, when work is done, then you can play, you know. It was a good foundation for me to then be able to come to the United States and realize all the opportunities that exist. And so while I was not able to go to college directly after graduating high school, the opportunity that existed for me was to join the Army. And so I joined the Army after high school and was a helicopter mechanic for 5 years while I served. Did a tour in Panama, Germany, and the Persian Gulf. I was able to learn a trade, learn a skill, which after the 5 years I got out, had an opportunity to work at Sikorsky Aircraft, now building the very same helicopters that I was repairing while in the Army. Sikorsky did provide educational benefits to cover tuition expenses, and so I got my pilot's license through that opportunity. And at that point, when I graduated, I decided to move from Connecticut to South Florida. And I didn't have anyone in Florida that I knew, so that transition was foreign to me. It really was, I have to make this work because I'm not going back to cold Connecticut. And it's been 24 years since I've been here in South Florida. And having worked at the International Airport for about 2 years, an opportunity became available here. And I came on board as an airport operations aide. And most people at the time said to me, why would you do that? Why would you leave the large airport and go to a smaller airport? What I can tell you with what some people call smaller airport, but again, I will refer to it as being the other big airport in the county, is that I had the opportunity to wear multiple hats. And so over the years while being here, I had the opportunity to learn and to grow.
Did you ever think at that point, entry-level position, that you'd ever be director position? You know, and how did you bide your time from one to the other?
No, I never did think that I would have been at this level. When I came here, the individuals who were in those senior positions, they were the same age as myself. They had taken the other route of getting their education, whereas I went to the military. So obviously, I see it as I was at least 4 to 6 years behind them, lagging. But the environment was so great. I had the chance to get exposure to something different every day. And that's what made getting up every morning and wanting to come to work that much of a passion. So as luck would have it, all it took was one piece to move. And then that opened the doorway. And I was able to move into the airport operations supervisor position. But again, even then I thought, yeah, this is it. About 3 years later, an assistant airport manager position became available. And still then I thought, okay, this is it. It did work out to where the most senior person went somewhere else to another airport. And I thought, okay, well, let me take a shot. And so 6 years ago, took on the role. And I realized that it wasn't just going to be keeping it status quo. but really taking it to the next level.
And my final question would be this, you know, how much of that young kid from St. Lucia who worked the fields and had to get up, how much of that kid is still here, this man that now runs this airport? I mean, what we learn at that level, the work ethic part where in a family household, you have your roles, everybody has their role, everybody has to do their role so that the ultimate results come forth.
Yes, I'll be honest with you, people, when they hear of the executive airport, people's perception that it's general aviation, nothing is going on. Until you actually come here and realize, oh, it's not a country club. You know, it's work being done. Work has to be done. It's dependent on us to make sure that the runway is available for the aircraft to land and take off. It's dependent on us that the grass is cut so that way it's not obstructing the lights at nighttime that pilots depend on to navigate on the ground. And that's just it. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, then everybody else is looking at you like, okay, yeah, because of you, we're not getting a homemade cake done because there's no coconut to put in the cake. And it was your job to go find a dry coconut, grate it, and have it there.
And you're holding the team down.
Yeah.
If you're not doing your thing. And I would think as a director, it's the same process here. Everybody has to do what they need to do.
Yep.
So that this airport can run like it's supposed to run. So that you can eat the coconut, whatever you want to call it, that final result.
Enjoy the fruit of the labor.
You know what I mean? This is my, like, no. So, you know.
Thank you for listening to the Greater Fort Lauderdale Alliance podcast. Please subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on social media at GFL Alliance. And for business relocations or expansions in Greater Fort Lauderdale, visit us at lesstaxing.com or livewhereyouvacation.com.